على خطاه ثابتون أصل وجه الله سويا حيث كان العدل نكون.
يا من ملأت الأرض حبا وسلاما وعلى نهجك سار المؤمنون. يا من دعوت الناس بخير الكلام دين حنيف له وحيد.
المسلمون في بريطانيا كانوا يأتونها من قديم يهاجرون إليها، جاءوا من عدة بلدان في العالم، حتى إنك ترى اليوم الجيل الأول والجيل الثاني والجيل الثالث. هل استطاعت هذه الأجيال أن تتمسك بالإسلام؟ الإسلام ليس فقط شعائر تعبدية، إنما هو أيضا أخلاق وسلوك وآداب. هل استطاعوا أن يتمسكوا بها مع اختلاطهم بمجتمع آخر؟ زرت أحد البيوت وجلست مع الجيل الأول الأب والجيل الثاني الابن ومعنا الجيل الثالث الأحفاد. تحدثنا عن هذه المسألة، والمشكلة أنهم ما كانوا يتكلموا عربي وأنا لا أتكلم إنجليزي جيدا، لكن يسر الله وتممنا الموضوع، فتعالوا ادخلوا معي إلى بيتهم. Can you speak Arabic?
I'm afraid not. I'm English.
brother, can you speak Arabic?
No.
A little or no? You can speak Arabic. I think a little bit.
No, but I'm learning, but I cannot speak it.
Learn since how many months?
To be honest, 3 weeks.
Now 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I've stopped recently, so.
Okay, I can't speak English very good, but I will try, inshallah. Now, and I think I can give you my message by English, inshallah. Brother, I think you came from Pakistan.
Yes.
Since how many years?
Since 1963. More than 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah.
Mashallah. When you came from there, what's your age?
What?
When you came.
Yeah.
Your age maybe 10 years or 15?
I think it's 20.
With your father or with your friends?
No, I come to with my brother.
Your brother?
Yeah.
Then you stay here and return. You will not return to there. Did you visit Pakistan?
Yes, in this? Sometimes. My parents.
You have there and your families,
yes,
there?
Yes, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. What's your name?
Maryam,
mashallah. And Sarah, I think?
Yes, that's Sarah.
Mashallah. How many children you have?
I got two sons.
Not children, your son and daughter. This not children.
yeah, I know. I got 5 daughters and 2 sons.
Mashallah. In England, how the people can do with their son and daughter to keep them from wine or something like this?
We are Muslim, you know, we don't drink. And
yes, I know, but how you can keep them in the schools and in the universities? How the parents can keep the children?
May I answer this question as a parent?
Yes.
Okay, I think with your children, you need to have a very close relationship with them.
Mm.
You cannot just, for myself, I cannot just be a father, I must also be a friend. This way, they trust you, they have any issues, they talk about these issues with you, you're able to gently guide them on the right path, you know, keep them away from that which is haram, and, you know, inshallah, generally it works. You have to see what friends they have as well. Mm. And help them choose the right friends.
Mm-hmm. What your father was doing with you to keep you in from bad thing and to tell you about pray, about Quran, about mosque?
I think it was a joint effort with my father and my mother. My father used to be a policeman in Pakistan, so when he came over, he had this kind of regimental way of dealing with his children, with us basically. So we kind of knew, not Islamically, but we knew that if we did something wrong, our father would be angry or our mother would be angry. So that kind of, which I'm very grateful for, because it kind of kept us on the right path.
Uh-huh.
In regards to Salah and Quran, I think from a young age, my mother sent us to a madrasa. After school, we'd have 10 minutes to quickly wash up, have something to eat, and we'd be, you know, straight to the madrasa straight away, where we'd learn the Quran and everything. And I think that's with all my sisters, my brothers as well. So,
You was go to madrasa every weekend, I think.
It was every day,
five days
a week. It was for 2 hours.
Uh-huh. Madrasa afternoon.
In the evening.
In the evening,
after school,
yes.
So as soon as we finish school, we would have a rest.
Islamic madrasa. It's Islamic school madrasa.
Yeah.
What they give you?
They would teach us from the beginning how to read the Quran. From the Qaeda, Quran, basic
Arabic language.
Yes, not so much Arabic language, because at the time when we were children, amongst the Indian and Pakistani community, not many people could speak Arabic. It was more learning the Quran and basic rules and regulations in regards to the deen.
Uh-huh. What about your friends from British friend?
Okay.
In your school, secondary school and before it, are you go with them and sometimes they have girlfriends or drink wine or something like this?
Okay. To be honest, at a younger age, at the secondary age, most of my friends, we just love playing football. So the friends that I kept myself were just into football. That's all we did, football and computer games. As I got older, when I went to maybe college, at that time, then you kind of noticed that they weren't necessarily my friends, but you would notice that brothers or even, you know, English friends that we knew, they were, you know, keeping friends, you know, they're having friendship with females, but we weren't really exposed to that.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you do now with your children to make any good in Islam?
Okay, with my children from a young age.
You have only two daughters, mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, Maryam and Sarah. Sarah's just a bit tired,
Sarah.
Now, but she's probably falling asleep.
Sarah. Can I take your hair, Sarah?
Should we give you hair? With these guys, we just ensure we've got a madrasa down the road. We teach them ourselves in regards to etiquette, manners, how they should be with those that are older than them, those that are younger than them, and alhamdulillah, they at this age they're able to sponge the information. They're able to and when they go to school, they show off in regards to that. They'll say, oh, we cannot do this because it's not allowed in Islam.
Uh-huh,
and the teachers now, they understand this, and even they. They kind of, you know, acknowledge this and help them implement it in a way. So.
Uh-huh. What about your children? They can understand Urdu?
Yeah, my wife is teaching them Urdu, so they understand Urdu. They can.
You arrived from Pakistan?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
She's British, but her parents are from Pakistan.
She can understand Urdu?
Yes, she speaks Urdu.
What about your daughters?
Yes, they can understand Urdu. They cannot speak it completely, but they can.
Maryam can understand Urdu?
Yes. Maryam, do you speak Urdu?
Maryam, kya le hai? Ab karam kya hai?
You speak very good Urdu.
Yes, I can speak all languages.
Excellent. Yeah, I can tell. Mashallah.
Maryam, ab karam kya hai? She's shying,
yes,
I think.
She's very shy.
Maryam, can you read Quran? Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim.
You
can?
Should we read it?
Yalla, Bismillah. Maryam, go to the madrasa in evening?
Yes.
MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. They teach Quran and fiqh?
General fiqh. They're not, they've not concentrated, because of our age, they don't concentrate too much on any of the sciences, but it's just general.
Mm-hmm. Mukhtar, with your children when they was young, if you see one of them with girlfriend or sometime he takes cigar or maybe drugs or wine or something like this, What you will do with him? What the best way to?
I'm very lucky, you know, none of my children, you know, smoke, not drink and everything.
No. Alhamdulillah.
Because I don't do anything, you know, that's why.
Alhamdulillah. I think you are a lot of dua for them, right? Because يعني Allah to keep them from this bad thing.
Yeah, I always pray for them. And they go for work and still, you know, I pray.
Subhanallah. Yeah. What the reason for some young young Muslims here? His father very good and go to the mosque maybe every time. And every day, every Jum'ah, but his children not go to the mosque, not.
I think it's two things. Mm. First thing, sometimes like parents have that mentality. My children are still young. When they're older, they can do it then.
Mm.
That's one thing, which is an issue. I find that a bit of an issue because that time never comes. Before you know it, you become middle aged. You become old. And you've not learnt the essentials. That's the first thing.
Mm.
The second thing, I think it's probably more down to laziness. Maybe they can't be bothered.
Subhanallah.
In my opinion, I'm sure many parents will say different. But
Subhanallah. Well, sometimes the parents was, no good father, no good mother.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they know without prayer, without. Without dua, without subhanallah, if they not do this, the result would it will be very bad. Maryam, can you read no Quran? Can you read? I have gift for you, for Maryam. Yalla, Bismillah. Maryam, this like this. Huh? Bismillah. Take. Allahu Akbar. Quays. And this perfume for you, Maryam. Not for you, for your father, but yani. Maryam can read English?
Yes.
Yalla, Maryam, this is my book. Can you read here?
What's it say?
Enjoy?
Yeah, your life. She's very shy. She's
yes,
very
shy. That's good. Shy, good. It's, yeah, it's very good. Ha, Maryam. Maryam, are you brave? She's brave.
Yeah, with her mother, yeah, now and then. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's just...
MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. And this for you, Sheikh Mukhtar. Barak, this like this, inshallah, al-Jum'ah.
Thank you very much.
For al-Jum'ah prayer. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah, dua, Allah yahfadkum, ya Rabbil Alameen. I will pray, inshallah, for you and for your children, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. ألف الله تعالى بين قلوب الدعاة، وجعل الله تعالى وظيفة الدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا هي وظيفة الأنبياء. أرسل الله تعالى الأنبياء ليدعو الناس إلى عبادة ربنا جل في علاه. زرت عددا من الدعاة في بريطانيا، جالستهم، تعرفت على أساليبهم في دعوة الناس إلى الله تعالى. كل واحد له أسلوب يتميز به عن الآخر. هذه الحلقة هي حلقة عامة، نتحدث معهم في مواضيع شتى ونعرفكم بهم أيضا، فتعالوا معي نجلس مع هؤلاء الدعاة. مرحبا بك يا شيخ يوشع. بارك الله. يوشع هو اسم نبي من الأنبياء.
نعم.
يوشع بن نون، أنا والله سمعت بك بارك الله فيك، وأنك يعني في الدعوة لك نشاط في دعوة المسلمين وغير المسلمين.
نعم.
أول شيء، can you understand Arabic very well or little bit?
Little bit.
Little bit. Okay.
Little I one year. So.
Oh, in Egypt 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. So get something.
You study there.
نعم.
أما عارف تتكلم يعني مصري كويس دلوقتي.
نعم.
طيب يا شيخ، أنت أسلمت متى؟ لما كان عمرك كم؟
نعم، I became Muslim 15 years ago. الحمد لله. And after reading the Bible.
آه.
It was actually yes.
قبل 15 سنة.
نعم.
آه. كم كان عمرك ذلك الحين؟
It was after my reading the Bible that led me to Islam. Honestly, I was studying to become.
No, I'm asking about your age when you became Muslim.
18.
18.
18.
Okay. Tell me about your story.
It's very long, unfortunately, but shortened. I was reading the Bible, studying to become a minister in the church. I wanted to become a preacher for Christianity, and I was studying the Bible cover to cover, reading the whole thing. I realized there's something wrong with this book. This book has a lot of problems. مشكلة كثيرة. So after that, I left Christianity. I realized this is not Allah's religion. This is not the religion
yes,
of God.
Yes, but you didn't talk with anyone.
I talked to many people,
From church or from
church, from church, from
priest,
from priests, from preachers to Bible college, everybody. Yeah,
they can't answer your questions.
They can't answer except telling me to believe. That's it. You just
believe. Without use your mind.
No logic.
Uh-huh.
The mind can't believe, can't make you believe. It's the faith. According to Christianity, Paul says that that it is only faith that brings us to salvation, not works, not logic, not righteousness. Just believe. That's it.
Subhanallah.
But this is not reality for me.
Then
after that, I left Christianity, but I wanted to find the truth. But I wanted proof. I wanted hujjah. I wanted something to show me the truth. So I studied Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Judaism, Confucianism, Wiccan, everything.
You read in this?
I got the books. I read them. The same thing. Problems. These things cannot be logical. They don't make sense. And I read a book about Islam that told me Muslims worship the moon god. They lived in a box in the desert of Saudi Arabia. The book. A book about Islam.
Al-Quran.
Bible, in the library. In the library in America.
Nobody gave it to you.
No, I went and looked for it.
Mashallah.
I went and looked for it. Told me that all these bad things about Muslims. So I left it alone. And I made the streets my religion. Hip-hop and all of these things were happening. So that became my religion. But finally, I met a Muslim who was a drug dealer.
Who is?
A drug dealer. He sold marijuana for a living. The Muslim. But I
drug
met him
dealer.
One day. He's a drug dealer. Cannabis. He sold marijuana for a living. This is what he did. But he was a Muslim. Nevertheless, he told me to go to Jum'ah. Find out about Islam. I went to Jum'ah and I asked for a copy of the Quran. I read the Quran.
And he was not Muslim?
No.
Went to Jum'ah?
I went to Jum'ah. I asked for a copy of the Quran. I read it cover to cover. 3 days, finished the English translation of the Quran. The next day I accepted Islam.
Mashallah, 3 days?
No.
You read it all?
Yeah, the English.
Mashallah.
Yeah, the English, and then after that I accepted Islam.
You was in 18?
Yeah, I was 18.
Mashallah, yeah, mashallah.
The day after I finished the Quran, I accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah.
So you went to the mosque again?
I went back to the masjid.
Uh-huh.
And I told the imam I want to be a Muslim. So that was it. Very simple, but a lot of things happened. But I wanted the proof. The proof was the Quran. It was the beginning of the Quran that ذَلِكُ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This was the evidence for me, that this is the book, no doubt. And the Quran proved that to me. So I accepted Islam, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Then who teach you about Islam?
I learned from many people. I studied first with Dr. Sheikh Muhammad Said Adli in South Carolina.
In America?
In America, in America. Muhammad Said Adli is an imam in Colombia.
I know him, yes.
Then after that, I moved to New York City and started studying with another sheikh that was living there. And then I moved to Egypt for a while. Came back to the States and started studying with Sheikh Waleed Idris Al-Manisi, doing my Hifz al-Quran and things of that nature. And now, alhamdulillah, I've relocated here to the UK.
Alhamdulillah. Then you came here to UK.
Yes.
In America, did you give any lectures about Islam?
Yes, many.
Where, in mosques or
all
in
universities? Mosques, churches, universities, Mashallah. Everywhere, in the streets. This is, for the past 6 years, I've been doing this full time, telling people about Islam, sharing Islam.
Is it easy to accept Islam, the people?
The people who have their own minds, yes. Yes, the people who will think for themselves, Islam is an easy thing to accept. Mm-hmm. You know, but the people who don't want to hear anything, then it's very difficult. You know, you try, you give them the message, the rest is between them and Allah. You know, this is all we can do. We share the message, tell them the truth about Islam, plainly, simply, the rest is between Allah and His slaves. That's it.
Who's accept Islam easier, the women's or men?
The women.
The women?
The women. Out of every five people that become Muslim, three are women.
Oh.
The statistics, three are women.
And what age they accept Islam?
Between the ages quickly. Of 18 and 30. Between 18 and 30 years old, according to statistics. In America, between 18 and 30, this is the women, this is the most people accepting Islam.
After 50 or 60, I think they can't accept
it's a bit
easier.
Harder. You see some sometimes, but it's a bit harder. Mm.
What's the best thing they see it in Islam when they became Muslim? What in Islam, when they know, they accept Islam and like Islam? You understand me?
Yes, for women, it's the freedom that Islam gives them. Because they start to understand that the freedom of the West is not really freedom. Not for women.
They have freedom. They, without hijab, they can sleep with anyone.
Yes.
And can drink, can eat anything. This is freedom. Islam will
restrict them.
Yes, hijab and just one husband and.
But they start to realize that this freedom is actually more of an oppression, because it's a freedom not for them; it's a freedom for the men.
Yes.
Freedom for the men. It's not a freedom
yes.
for the women.
Yes.
The women become objects. The women become just the meat on a stick for the men. So they realize that the liberation of Islam guards and protects the rights of the woman. So this is it helps them to accept Islam very easily. Very, very easy. When you give them some sense and show them logically, because women will think logically if you speak to them, if you talk to them and you show them the deen of Islam. So they're accepting it very easily.
Okay, Yusha, if you what's your name? What's your name in before Islam?
Joshua.
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 Okay, if you want to talk with anyone about Islam, what's the if you want to start with him, what the information you choose it to talk about it?
Well, for an average person, you have to find out who they are, because you need to know this person. So I use things, asking them very short questions. You know, do you believe in God? Yes. Okay, this person is a theist. I know I'm dealing with someone who believes in God. If they say no, it's an atheist. So I deal with them upon that. Yes, you believe in God. Do you have a religion? Yes. What is your religion? Jew, Christian? Then I can talk to them directly, have something detailed to tell them. But the thing is, we want to bring them to Tawheed. This is it. We want them to understand that they were created by Allah alone, and this is whom they should worship. That they were created to worship Allah alone. Because if we don't bring them to Tawheed, we don't accomplish anything. If they put hijab on, it's not going to take them to Jannah. If they grow a beard, it's not going to take them to Jannah.
Yes.
Only the belief in La ilaha illallah will bring them to Jannah. So we deal with these subjects. Anything they want to know, we answer it with Tawheed. If they ask me, why do you pray five times a day? Because I believe in Allah. Why do you wear hijab? Because we believe in Allah. Why do you not eat pork? Because we believe in Allah.
Yes.
So we try to bring them to understanding that our entire life revolves around Allah.
Okay, Yusha. In this 15 years, how many person became Muslim by your da'wah?
Wallahi, I don't know. And maybe. I didn't try to keep the count. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it doesn't Allah matter the amount. Allah knows. But is a lot. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But it won't matter if Allah doesn't accept it.
Okay, what about your parents now? They are Muslim or no?
No, my father is the only one left alive. My mother passed away many years ago. My father, I tried to talk to him about Islam.
No.
But his response to me, he loves Islam. He's happy that his son is a Muslim.
In the beginning, America or here?
He's in America. Mm. In the beginning, he thought it was just, you know, some phase that I was going through. Mm. But after he saw the change, that I became a better person, he's happy that I'm Muslim. He's happy to tell people I'm Muslim. But he tells me that he was raised as a Christian and he would not leave the religion that he was raised upon. Mm. He believes that as long as you're a good person, you go to paradise.
Allahumma hadihi ya Rabbil Alameen. Pray for him. بارك الله فيك يا شيخ الله يحفظك بارك الله فيك الله يكرمك
اصطفى الله نبيا على خطاه ثابت أصن وجه الله سويا حيث كان العدل نكون
يا من ملأت الأرض حبا وسلاما وعلى نهر